Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
You, God, you answer all things. You know all things. You are the creator of everything, Father. And so this morning, as we come before you through your word, Lord God, attune our hearts and our minds to you. We welcome your Holy Spirit this morning. We thank you for this time together as a family. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, wow. So, excited for this message today. I'm really excited for it because this is the last message in our series that we're going through, right? Our series that we're going through, A Light in Babylon. Okay, and so we've been looking at Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And we've seen how they have continued to live out a Christ-centered lifestyle in this foreign land that they are now, you know, planted in, that they are now living in, this land of Babylon. And so over the past few weeks, we've seen how different situations that these young men have gone through and, you know, where they've been, you know, they've been tempted, they've been given the option of either to conform or to bow down to the ruler of the day or respond in a different way, right? And in all of these situations, they make a stand. In every situation that presented to them, they made a stand. They didn't respond like everyone else was. They were different, right? And it wasn't just based on their willpower. It wasn't based on their gifting or their talent. It was something much deeper. It was something much greater. And it was all to do with their trust in God. It was to do with their faith that they had in the God of heaven. And so the title of my message today is Prayer That Propels. Everyone say, Prayer That Propels. Prayer That Propels. So, did you know that the fastest land speed record is 763 miles per hour? That's 1,227.9 kilometers per hour, right? 1,200. How much? What does the dial on your car go up to? Like 200 maybe? Maybe 220? Yeah. But 1,227.9 kilometers per hour. Now, this is currently held by a British team back in 1997. And this is the car that they did it in, the vehicle that they did it in. It was called the Thrust SSC. And it was driven by a Royal Air Force pilot by the name of Andy Green. And it's pretty amazing to see this vehicle going in full flight, breaking the sound barrier. It is the engine of this vehicle that propels it forward at this mind-blowing speed, right? The engine is this, what they call a twin Rolls-Royce Spey engine, which is actually the engine from a... It's from an airplane, a jet plane. So they got two of these jet plane engines, you know, mounted onto this rocket that goes along the land, right? And so it's the engine that enables this vehicle to do what it does. And so for Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prayer was that engine that propelled them forward into all that God has for their life, right? Prayer was such a vital component for them in who they were and how they lived out their lives. It was founded, it was built upon their prayer life with God. And so in Daniel chapter 2 with Nebuchadnezzar, we're going to be looking at the power of prayer. And so in Daniel 2, it tells of this. Just to give you a bit of context on chapter 2, right? Because we covered it a little bit earlier on in our series, right? In week 2, I think it was. And so Daniel chapter 2 tells of this dream that the king has, this disturbing dream that the king has. And so he's really disturbed by it. He's like, oh my gosh, this is like, it keeps him up. He can't sleep properly at night. And so he calls all his wise men, all his sorcerers, enchanters, the Chaldeans. These are the people who like have this, you know, this what he sees as like, he calls them their wise men, right? They're the people who can talk to these sort of supernatural, unexplained things. So he calls them into his quarters to Tell them, you need to tell me what this dream means and what dream I have, right? And because we sort of found out what kind of person Nebuchadnezzar was, he was like an emotional guy, right? Because if he heard an answer that he didn't like, it was like, okay, I'll kill you. That was his response, right? You give him a response, and he was like, oh, you can't do that? Okay, well, I'll burn down your house, and I'll throw you in the fire, right? He does those weird, really aggro things, right? And so the response of this select group of people is that they say, King, what you're asking for is like, no human being can know. It's your dream, and you're asking us what your dream is and tell you the interpretation. You've got to tell us what your dream was, and then we'll tell you the interpretation. But Nebuchadnezzar like, nah, I know what you guys are like. I know how you work. Tell me my dream, and tell me what it means, right? So he's putting them in this place of total reliance on whatever it is that you rely on to tell you these things. And so the response doesn't go down well with the king. When they say, only gods know what you're dreaming about, king. Only the gods know. And so he commands that all the wise men of Babylon will be killed. They're all going to be killed. And so the decree goes out and word gets to Daniel and his friends about this, that they are going to be killed. You know, isn't this like, you know, our lives today? Not the killing part, but, you know, where, you know, there's so much that is out of our control, right? There's so much that is out of our control, right? You think about the laws that govern the land, the people and how they respond to us. All that is all out of our control. We can't control that sort of stuff. And the thing with this is that these things that are out of our control, they affect us. They still affect us. The consequences of those things affect us. But Daniel and his friends, they approach this differently. They don't look at what they can do. But what they do is that they do what they can do, right? They don't look at what they can't do. They do what they can do, right? And what they can do is pray. What they can do is go before God. Now, have you thought about how you respond to the things that are out of your control? How do you normally respond to the stuff that is out of your control? Here are some, what I think are some usual responses of these things, right? Maybe for some, it's denial. We respond by denying it. Refusing to accept or acknowledge that the circumstances are out of our control. So we deny the reality of that situation. Maybe for others, it's blame, right? Oh, it's her fault. Oh, it's his fault. Oh, it's the school's fault. Oh, it's my boss's fault. You know, we're looking to blame everybody else. Or maybe for others, it could be anger or frustration. The circumstances have triggered these feelings of anger and frustration. And so they take it out on the people around them. They take it out on themselves. They see that the whole society, everyone's against them. It's everyone else's fault. Because of this internal anger and frustration within them. They don't know how to process it, right? So, just because it may be out of our control, it doesn't mean that we do nothing about it. Because as a follower of Jesus, we have access to the God of heaven and earth, right? Amen? And part of the beauty of our life as a follower of Jesus is that we get to walk it in faith. We get the opportunity to trust God. We have access to God. We can pray to Him for every situation, in any situation, right? And this is what we see in Daniel and his friends. They know the state of the situation. They know that this decree has been said by the king. And so they say, okay, well, we can't control that. But what we can do is that we can pray. We'll pray to God. Let's pray about this. Let's pray to God and ask and wait on Him. Wait on His response. These guys were propelled by a fervent prayer life. A fervent prayer life. But what does fervent mean? Okay, so I looked this up on the, you know, as you do on the internet. Fervent is an adjective. Adjective, is that right? Adjective. Sorry, is that right there? Thank you, Nick. I had to look to the teacher. Adjective. My lips are a bit big for that word. Okay, so it's a describing word, right? It's a describing word that communicates a passionate, intense, and heartfelt devotion or enthusiasm towards something. And so a fervent prayer life is praying with great earnestness, praying with great zeal, right? And a wholeheartedness towards God. It's a deep and intense desire to communicate with and seek God. Is that the kind of prayers that we pray? Is that the kind of prayers that we pray? Is that the desire of our heart when we pray? Or is it a more, oh God, can you do this for me? Oh God, can you do this for me? God, I need help in this. Is our prayers out of this deep desire to see and be with God, to experience Him right there in that place of whether it's unknown, and whether it's doubt, whether it's frustration, anger, whatever it is that you may be going through right in that moment, is our desire to invite God into that moment and to help us through those challenges? Do we have a deep desire to communicate with God? And remember, it's not just about talking to God, right? Communication is not a one-way street, right? It's two-way. It's two-way. So when we praying to God, we've got to listen to Him as well. And he speaks. He speaks to us if we're willing to hear Him. Hearing Him speak into our hearts. In the book of James, we read this. James 5:16, it says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. So here in the book of James, we're encouraged to confess to one another, to pray for one another. The book of James has this focus of encouraging people in, you know, to live a life that is devoted to Jesus. The effectual and fervent prayer of a man or a woman has great power. So living in this particular way of a fervent prayer life means that we pray with one another. We pray we pray with one another. We confess with each other, right? We confess to one another. And so there is this accountability in this, right? Accountability among brothers and sisters. There is a desire to be changed by God from the inside out. When we're praying, we're asking God to not only change our physical situation, but change our heart towards that situation. Changing us from the inside to transform us to become more and more like Jesus. And this is what we see in Daniel and his three friends, right? Once they've heard the decree from the king that they're going to be killed because this group of wise men that were gathered before the king, they couldn't do their job. And so it affected everybody, every wise man in the whole of the kingdom of Babylon. And this is something that we can implement in our own lives, this fervent prayer life. So in verse 17 of our passage today, then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. And he told them to seek mercy from God, the God of heaven, concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. You know, when we go through stuff in life, who are the people in our life that we come around with and that we stand with as we seek the will and the mercy of God? Who are those people that we have in our life? Daniel had Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah around him. Who do you have in your corner to stand with you? Who do you have around you that you can come around and you know, no matter what situation it is, no matter what situation it is, you're able to come around them and say, hey, can we pray about this? Can you help me? And can you encourage me in this area, right? Can you stand with me in this? Who are those people? Who can you go to? And together with one another, come before God and pray and seek the will of God. And this is the norm for Daniel and his friends. This is how they approach their life. This is how they live their life in Babylon. Remember, later on, we hear about how Daniel, he prayed 3 times a day. He was dedicated to his devotion towards God, even in this place. No matter what was going on in life, he made time to be with God. They ask God together. They come before God. And they wait on him. They wait on God for the answer. And so this tells us a couple of things about having a fervent prayer life, right? Number one, a fervent prayer life will give you courage to not shrink back, right? Will give you courage to not shrink back. Fervent prayer deepens our intimacy with God. When we spend time with God, when we experience his presence, his love, his faithfulness in a daily and refreshing way, that will in turn build courage in us. It will strengthen us. This intimacy strengthens our faith and encourages us to face the difficult situations without shrinking back. Number two, a fervent prayer life can lead you to the right company. Right, can lead you to the right company. And I'm not talking about an organization or a business. I'm talking about the people you hang out with. Who are the people that you're surrounding yourself with, right? Are the people that you're surrounding yourself with, are they helping you build up your relationship with Jesus? Are they people that are speaking life into you? Are they pointing you, helping point you to God, pointing you to the things of God, to his word, to prayer, to being around environments that are going to help to grow and nurture and develop your personal relationship with God? Do we have people like that around us? Are we around those sorts of people? When we have a fervent prayer life, it can lead you to the right company, the right people. Daniel and his friends were that tight-knit company that they had built. And so whatever they had went through in life, whatever challenges they would go against, they would come together and pray. Number three, a fervent prayer life can bring you promotion, right? And we see this in Daniel. Daniel he's promoted to a position of great authority, divine favor and guidance came through their fervent prayer life. Daniel, along with his friends, that they sought God's wisdom. They sought God's guidance, right? Through prayer. When they were faced with the challenges, they would pray about it. You know, what's our usual response when stuff happens in our life? When stuff comes up? How do we respond to it? Do we go to God in prayer? Or do we pick up the phone and ring our best friend? Hey, I'm going through this. Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard. Have you gone to God? Let's go. I'll pray with you right now. Let's go to God in this. Having those sorts of people around us enable us to focus in on God. Because sometimes we can magnify the situation that's in front of us and we miss the enormity of God that is all around us, right? We see this issue, whatever it is, we see it, it's so big. But do you know how big God is? Do you realize how big God is? So as a result, God revealed the king's dreams. The dream, the meaning of the dream, he revealed it to Daniel after this time of prayer. And then Daniel gives us this prayer of thanks to God. That's the first thing he does. He thanks God in prayer for the answer, right? Sometimes I think we can, you know, when something happens and we're praying about it, awesome, and we go straight away. Awesome because of what? Awesome because of God. Have we gone back to God and said, thank you, God, for this opportunity. Thank you for opening this door, this prayer that you have answered. But we're like, just awesome, and gone. Walk through that door. But Daniel was like, God, thank you that you are the God who answers prayers. You're the one who revealed this to me, right? So we see their foundation, the foundational building block for Daniel and his friends was prayer. Praying fervently, diligently. Their whole lives were centered on this prayer life. And this is what propelled their lives forward. Amen? This is what accelerated their progress. Their private life, their prayer life, their war room, whatever you want to call it. It was their private encounters with God that filled them with the courage and boldness to be public influencers. Right? Their private encounters with God, their private moments with God, just them and God, empowered them, prepared them, equipped them to be these public influencers. God filled these young men with boldness and courage so that they could be propelled forward in all that God had. So much so that a lion's den could not kill these men. Right? A fiery furnace could not burn them up. A threat by the king could not discourage them from continuing to fight for fellowship, to fight for relationship, to fight for prayer, to fight for their lives. And not in a physical way. You know, you're not fighting against someone, right? I'm not fighting against Ray herself. No, we're fighting in the spiritual realm. When we're on our knees, we're fighting that battle. We're in a spiritual battle. And so we should live out our lives in a way that completely trusts in God. In Psalm 42, verses 1 to 2, it says this, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So the psalmist's words here reflect this deep longing and thirst for God's presence. It portrays an intense desire to be in fellowship with Him, to experience His love and His guidance. The fight for fellowship begins when we recognize that our soul's longing for God and then actively seeking after Him through fervent prayer. There's nothing in this world that will satisfy our soul's desires. You know, we may look for it in relationships, in substances, in other people, in online, you know, social media. We may look for it in all these different places, right? But none of those things truly and deeply satisfy our soul like God does. Only God alone can truly bring that deep peace and comfort in His presence. Amen? We need God in our lives. In Psalm 73, 25 to 26, it says this, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Man, do we recognize God as our ultimate desire? The psalmist acknowledges that there's nothing in heaven and earth that can compare to the worth and value of God. Nothing. Nothing comes close. So our ultimate desire should be to commune with Him daily. Whether it's in our rooms, in our cars, at a park, in the gym, whether we're walking down the street, do we recognize and are we aware of God's presence with us? Is there this deep desire and reliance on God? And if there is this deep desire and a reliance on God, then this should tell us that the deeper that we go, the deeper that we go out, the deeper our prayer relationship needs to be, right? The deeper that we go out, the deeper that our relationship needs to be in order to propel us forward in all that God has for us. The deeper that we go out into our communities, the deeper that we walk alongside with people in the challenges and struggles that they may be walking through in their life, the deeper that we go through these things with people in our communities, the deeper our relationship with God needs to be embedded and built on Him. God was with them in the lion's den. God was with them in the fiery furnace. The deeper that we go into life, the deeper our prayer relationship needs to be grounded in God. It needs to be founded on God. So it can help us to see people through God's eyes, right? And it propels us forward. It shows us how to love people. It shows us how to care for people. It shows us God's heart for people. So how can we deepen our fervent prayer life? I want to give us a couple of tools or practical stuff to help us reignite that prayer life. Is that all right? Is everyone okay? Yes. Is that all right? Oh, it must be just me. It's really hot up here. Okay, so first thing is this, a prayer journal. Okay? Prayer journal. Who does prayer journal? Does anyone do prayer journaling regularly? No? No one? Okay. Oh, one? Oh, nice. There's always one. No, but a prayer journal is so powerful, right? Prayer journals allow us to cultivate a focused and intentional prayer life, right? When you're writing down your prayers, your praises, your reflections, it's a simple way to focus in and see what God is doing in your life right there and then. And if you think about it, if you come back to that place, right, 6, 12, 18, 24 months later, you come back to that place and say, oh, wow. It was awesome how you see God there. And then 6 months later, you see the prayer answers there. Man, you know, you see what God, how God has been working in your life. But usually with us, you know, because it's human nature, right? I know, I don't keep a prayer journal. I wish I would. But, you know, just seeing God, how He has moved, how He has, continued to work in your life. Because sometimes we can feel like, God, where are you? What are you doing in my life? And yet you think, oh, you forget God has answered this prayer. This is a prayer that you prayed like months ago. You were wanting it. Give it to me tomorrow, God. And like God said, nah, you're not ready for it. And then 2 months later, it answers. And you're like, oh, you know, it's not a big deal to you anymore. But it's like when we see it in our prayer journals, we see the journey of God in us, in our lives, and how He has changed us, right? And so a prayer journal. Prayer journal. This is a Psalm 1 one. This is a Psalm 1 journal, the prayer journal. Okay. So, yeah. Okay. So, another one is praying the word. Okay. Praying the word. You know, sometimes we don't know. Like, I know that there have been times I'm like, oh my gosh, I've been asked to pray. What do I say? What am I going to do? How do I pray? What do I say? Right? When you pray the word, you can't go wrong. Right? If you had the word in front of us, God, the Bible in front of you, and you're praying that's a great way to pray, right? Because think about it, like, when sometimes, like, this happens to me, okay? You don't have to raise your hands because it may not happen to you, but sometimes when I pray, my mind wanders into, like, what am I going to have for lunch? Thank you, Lord God, for what am I going to wear? What am I going to watch tonight? You know, when I'm relaxing, what episode of, you know, Manifest shall I watch tonight? You know, those stuff happens up here, right? But yet stuff that's coming out here is a prayer to God, but yet our mind is like, oh, it's not here, right? It doesn't happen to you guys, eh? You guys are so focused and when your prayers, eh? Oh, man, holy church. Praise the Lord. You must be New South Wales, eh? Sorry, it just slipped out. It slipped out. No more mention of that stuff, okay? But praying scripture helps us to not only read God's word, but also to think more of how God wants us to pray for a particular scripture. Okay, think about that. When we're reading something, and good news, we're going to do a bit of a practice of this today, right? Okay, we're going to practice this today. This is a nice, safe environment to practice in, right? Is that right? Okay, and so the Bible's rich source of wisdom and promises and truth that can shape and inform our prayers and our hearts, right? And so you're thinking, oh, but the Bible's so big, where do I start? What book do I start with? Well, a good place to start is the book of Psalms, okay? The book of Psalms is a great place to start, okay? Because it's filled with this real heartfelt prayers, praises, expressions of faith, right? And so it covers a wide range of emotions and situations, making it a great resource for personalizing the prayers and connecting with God in a deeper and meaningful way, right? So the praying the Psalms, going through the Psalms, having a read-through at a particular Psalm. Philippians is another good to pray, right? Another good book to pray. The book of Philippians is filled with themes of joy, contentment, and thanksgiving, right? And so it's uplifting and encouraging tone makes it a great choice for praying prayers of gratitude, seeking joy in difficult circumstances, and growing in faith. And these are some ideas, right? But praying the Word of God. If you open up the Word of God, you know, whether you're at home or in the car, and you see a verse, and it's a verse that's speaking to you right there in a situation, right there and then, just pray that. Pray that over yourself. Pray that over your situation, right? Prayer partners. Prayer partners is another good one, okay? Having a prayer partner is a great tool for accountability and encouragement. You know, last year, there were times that when me and Kopa, when we would have life group, you know, and you have those days, they just happen, you know? Those days when no one turns up, you know, to life group, and we're like, oh, okay, shall we cancel? No, let's pray. And so me and Kopa would just still get together and we'd pray. We'll pray for our brothers. We'll pray for our families. We'll pray for our church. We'll pray for our marriages. We pray for ourselves, right? And so seeing opportunities to be able to pray, you know, pray and not just, oh, I got a free night, yay. No, but hey, what about pray? Spend some time praying and then you can enjoy your night, right? It's not that hard, right? But sometimes we're like, oh, no one's coming to life group. Oh, well, free night. Should we go to movies? Let's go to God first and then we'll go to movies. How's that, right? Is that cool? Does that make sense? Is that helpful? Does that make sense, right? Okay, so, and finally, corporate prayer, okay? We have it every Wednesday, 6:30 at our central location. And okay, I need to ask for forgiveness of you, okay, of our church. Because, you know, for me, I know the importance of prayer. But yet, I make excuses for not going to prayer. And I'm not saying that this is valid excuses, all right? But going to prayer, going to corporate prayer, where we're combining with our church family in Central and, you know, at the Hub, Wednesday, 6:30, I need to ask forgiveness of you as a church because this is a part that I am failing you as a church in. And not gathering us, our church, to pray together enough, right? And I don't know whether it's because of the journey, the distance to Central, but like for me, I'm sure we all know the importance of prayer, right? We know the power in prayer, the importance that we need prayer in our lives, but we can let stuff that's happening in our lives give us reasons, give us excuses to not turn up to prayer, right? And so I'm asking our church, I'm asking you, how can we better become a praying church? How can we get better at coming together as a church family like this And not just for Sunday, but another time. What could they look like for us as a church? Praying together. And so, I guess that's the lead-in for our practice today. Okay? So today we're not going to have a discussion question, but today we're going to have this application. Okay? And so, I've listed some passages on the screen here. And so hopefully you got access to a Bible, whether it's on your phone, or you have a physical Bible, which is even better. But these passages up here. And I want you to, what we're going to do is that we're going to spend some time. We're going to spend 5 minutes. 5 minutes. So maybe with the person next to you, maybe you can partner up with someone. That'd be really good. That gives us the accountability for each other, okay? So maybe partner up with someone around you, next to you. And then I want us to read through one of those verses. Maybe read through it maybe twice. And then I want us to stop and then just pause and then just think about that verse. Think about how it's speaking to you. Think about what God is trying to say to you. Think about what the words that are right there in that passage. And then I want you to spend some time praying that passage. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, so let me give you an example, okay? So Exodus 15, chapter 2, verse 2 says this, okay? The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. So after I've read that passage twice, then I'm just going to be quiet. I'm just going to meditate on those words. Let them sink into me. And then when I'm ready, I'll begin to pray. And my prayer could be something like this. Father, thank you that you are my strength. Thank you that you are my Lord. That you are the source of my strength. In my life, and even in this very moment, thank you for giving me the strength to be here today. Thank you for the strength that you give me throughout this whole week. You've brought me through this whole week, Lord God, because of your strength. You are my song. You're the song that I want to sing every day of my life, Lord God. So help me to come to a place of giving praise to you, of giving adoration to you, my God, my Father. You are my God. I will praise you in my life. I will exalt you. Amen. And that's it. You let the word of God direct where to pray, right? But read the word, sit in it, read it in a couple of times, and then just sit in it. Wait, 15, 20 seconds, there's no magical time. But just sit there and let the word speak to you. Okay, and then when you're ready, just pray. Pray as the Spirit of God leads you. Is that okay? So if you start praying with your partner and, you've done one verse, maybe choose another, okay? Or maybe you got your own verse. You already have a verse that you've been, praying about, or you've been meditating on yourself, and that's one you want to pray on this morning. But I want to encourage us to do that. Is that okay? Is that all right? A bit of practice of praying the word with each other. Okay, let me pray. Father, I thank you for this time together this morning. I pray, Lord God, as we come to this part of practicing praying your word, Lord God, I pray for all my brothers and sisters here this morning, Lord God. Grant us your peace. Grant us your love. Grant us your grace to be able to hear from you, to be able to pray in a way that you know us. You know us individually. You know our situations, Lord God. And so right now, Lord God, I thank you for the gift of your word, your spoken word that has been given to us as a light for our path, Lord God. And so this morning, we ask, Lord God, that as you begin to reveal your word through each of us this morning, as we pray your word, we thank you for the things that you're going to reveal to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.